You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following along with our coverage on housing and livability, I spoke with Real Estate Institute of New Zealand Chief Executive Bindi Norwell. I asked her to explain the current state of housing within New Zealand.
Well, I guess what we need to, because we represent so many members across the country, so 14,000 members, we're quite impartial. We don't actually have a view on either party at the moment, or any party. But what we do know is that what we're standing for at the moment is that we need more houses. So we need, there's a significant shortfall in houses, particularly in Auckland, in properties. And so we want to make sure that there's plans in place that meet that shortfall, so we can meet the demand of the population going forward. But anything needs to be practical. We need to make sure we have the skills and the construction and the consents and all the infrastructure around it to support that. In terms of in other policies, yes, we're looking forward to finding out what who gets in, because I think then we can actually decide on what, you know, have a view on all of those particular policies.
So other issues that have come into play would be foreign investors. Do you see that as a major issue when it comes to housing in New Zealand?
I don't think so, no. I mean, there's always going to be a mix of people that purchase properties in New Zealand. But, I mean, I don't, you know, whether, as long as they've got the funding, and I think that I think that's fine. Look, I think what we need to do is work out, actually see the detail of those policies first before we can comment. I mean, there's other things as well that we, you know, that, for example, we know that we want the housing stock in New Zealand to be up to par at least with other OECD countries. So, for example, we need them to be healthy homes in terms of insulation, you know, good help, to support healthy lifestyles for New Zealand. So that's another thing that I think is really important. But again, anything that's implemented needs to be practical. And for example, and any tax changes also needs to be tested and practical as well. So I guess it's just making sure that anything that is put into play can be achieved and is also relatively practical and doesn't is not punitive on particular markets.
So remaining impartial, what is your opinion on policy surrounding housing at the minute? What's been useful?
Well, as I said, I think it's really important that we have enough properties being built for New Zealand. I mean, we have, particularly in Auckland, we have a significant shortfall. So, for example, we need around 10,000 houses to be built a year, and at the moment there's about 7,000 consents, and there's a backlog of around 35,000 houses. And so this means that at the moment we don't have enough properties to keep up with the demand. And so this is something that really needs to be addressed to meet the demands of the population going forward. And what we'd really like is, we think it's very important that we're hearing a lot about first home buyers getting onto the market. So new houses, we're hoping there's enough building stock that's going to make it that will be tailored for the first home buyers, so like the entry level properties. But also we're advocating that we think that LVRs could be reviewed, just to make sure that they're practical and still the correct measures on first home buyers. So because actually we've heard that they could be quite punitive. So I think what we're advocating is for a review.
Could you go into a bit more explanation on what LVRs are?
Yeah, so they're the loan-to-value ratios, and at the moment, first home buyers need a 20% deposit before they can purchase a property, and so investors need a 40% deposit before they can buy the property. So yes, fair enough on investors, because they're designed to do LVRs is to moderate the level of growth in the housing market, and they've done that. So we can see that prices have stabilised in Auckland, and also the volumes have declined as well. So we've seen that they've had an impact. But what we're hearing time and time again is they're quite restrictive for first home buyers because of that 20% deposit. It's really hard for them to get onto the property ladder. And what this does is it slows down the whole chain of the property market. So what we're asking, we're thinking that, is this the right loan to value ratio around first home buyers, or is there another way that we need to look at this just so it doesn't stop first home buyers getting onto the market? Yes, we need to make sure that they're adequately, not over leveraged as well, but also we need to make sure that they can actually get onto the market.
Trust BFM? Sure can.
Kelly then talked with journalist Brian Bruce, who recently released a documentary called Who Owns New Zealand? He claims that our governments are unaware of the housing ownership in our country and need to begin collecting this data to make effective and informed housing and immigration policies.
The reality is that wages haven't gone up anywhere near what house prices have gone up. And if you haven't got money in your pocket, all of this talk about affordable housing is nonsense. I mean, if you can't buy a house, if you can't save for the mortgage, if you can't pay the mortgage, then, it's not affordable. And so the next question becomes is, if you can't afford the houses that are being built, who can?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is that if you've got a flood of money coming into your economy from overseas, whether it be from America or Canada or China or wherever it's coming from, what that does is it increases house prices to a point where the people in the domestic economy who are living on low wages can't afford them.
So in the documentary you talk about an asset class as well. Can you explain what that is?
Well, an asset class is, over the last 30 years, a group of people, a few of us, have managed to corner the rental market more, the property market. So if you have property, then you are in a very privileged position. It means that you can then borrow to start your business or run a business. It means that you have you're going to benefit from any increases in the value of property, and properties are increasing in value simply because you've got a scarcity problem. You've got more people wanting a home than can afford one.
So you talked to the CTU economist Bill Rosenberg about data collection of land ownership, and I think probably then the most shocking part for a lot of us was that, he sort of said we don't actually know who owns most of our land or our farmland or our forests or anything like that.
We don't know who owns New Zealand. We don't know who owns our houses. We don't know who owns our farms. And the interview with Bill Rosenberg absolutely shows that. Now, why has that happened? My view is it's willful blindness. I mean, you can't actually not do this stuff if you want to have an informed housing policy. You need to gather data to know what the hell's going on. If you don't do that, then you can't have a coherent housing and immigration policy. Mm. It's not that immigration is bad. I'm not against immigration. Good grief, I'm an immigrant myself. But you have to actually control the amount of immigration for the amount of resources that you've got. And if you don't know what resources you've got, if you don't know who's buying our properties from overseas, if you have an open door policy where you can, if you're wealthy and you can pick up a phone on any part of the planet and buy a property in New Zealand without even coming here and have all the paperwork done and benefit from the rising prices in New Zealand, then that is just plain stupid.
Mm. And do you think if we had this data and we knew, and as you say, make informed policies, do you think that there should be a higher rate of New Zealand ownership?
Of course.
Ratio do you think? Or
my personal view is 100% New Zealand ownership.
Hmm.
Come here, become a New Zealander, get engaged in our economy, and welcome.
Hmm.
Live overseas, plunder our economy, make life more difficult for people who live here. No thanks.
And both, I suppose, in this election, both Labour and National's solution to the housing crisis has, you know, although in quite different quantities, they're both just wanting to build more houses, especially in Auckland. Do you think this is a viable solution?
You have to build more houses if you've got more people, that's obvious. But that doesn't make them affordable.
Mm.
So people aren't earning enough to have a deposit on a house, say for a deposit on a house, or pay for the mortgage, then that's not affordable housing. You're building a second economy. You're building an economy based on immigration where wealthy people can buy the houses that are being built. You aren't solving the problem in the first economy. And you've got a lot of people such as yourself. Have you got a student loan going?
I do.
How big is it?
At the moment, it's only about $10,000.
Yeah, but a lot of your friends have got much bigger.
Oh, yes, yeah, a lot bigger.
No. Okay, well, you know, the problem is that if we keep doing that, then you guys aren't going to be able to afford to have families until much later, okay? You're not going to be able to have a place of your own. So what we've got to do, quite apart from this affordable housing argument, we're going to build more houses than you and we're going to build more houses. No, we're going to build more houses than you. That's a nonsense argument. Einstein said you can't solve a problem with the same kind of thinking that created it.
Mm.
So what we have to do is reconfigure this problem. We have to think, what is the real problem here? And the real problem now is security of tenure. If kids have to change schools because the rent's gone up on their house and they have to move from one place to the other, that breaks the that breaks their education. So you continue the cycle of poverty. That's one of the things that affects children and the poverty cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to think of ways in which we can give people security of tenure. And we're a pretty innovative country, but when it comes to housing, we don't think innovatively at all. If you go to Germany, you can have long-term leasing. The long-term leasing is funded by large institutions. What are the large institutions in New Zealand that could fund long-term leasing of housing? The Superannuation Fund, the KiwiSaver Fund, the ACC Fund. There are large funds that could be told to put a part of their profits into long-term leasing housing. The state used to be the main provider of long-term leasing. A lot of the economists that I talk to put the figure at around about 30 to maybe 33% of the population you're just going to have to provide housing for. Otherwise, our cities collapse.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.